The following is an opinion, and only an opinion. These are actual, honest first impressions. If you don't like the opinion, feel free to never listen again.
Welcome to the Podcast Rodeo Show. I'm your host, Dave Jackson, from the School of Podcasting.com. This is where we grab a random podcast and see how long we can hang on. Then I take my 15 years of podcasting experience and give you an honest first impression. And today, this is a show called Stories Your Granny Never Told. And this one wasn't really that random. This person came on another podcast I'm on called the Podcasters Roundtable. And I was like, okay, I like the idea of this show. The description is a podcast interviewing the wiser generation about their interesting, unexpected, and funny life stories. The website is storiesyourgrannynevertold.com, and we're going to listen to the very first episode. Here we go.
Is it recording now?
One must not get one's knickers in a twist.
I'm trying.
These are the stories your granny never told.
Clint Eastwood loved my apple pie.
I was raising a cow and 50 sheep and 2 chicks.
I slipped upon some spilled onions on the road and crashed my motorbike.
Can't really make out exactly what everybody's saying there. Anytime, something?
Okay, we're recording. So you can tell me your name and, if you want, your age.
Okay, my name is Edna. I was born Edna Diana Stoll, but my name now is Edna Oling.
Okay. And you live in Queens?
I live in Queens.
And you've lived here?
Since 1970.
1970?
Yes.
Were you born here?
I was born in Brooklyn.
So do you have any stories that come to mind that you want to tell already?
You mean about being born?
About anything in your life, or I can ask you about some of your beautiful collection that you have in your house.
Okay, let's see.
Which we can't see.
I'll go back to my father's father. My father was born in New York City at Hester Street. My grandfather was born in Europe, not quite sure where, because it was the Austrian-Hungarian Empire in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to America in the 1800s.
Wow.
And was a peddler at first in Manhattan, eventually had a store business selling paper goods, which were basically the kind of rolls of paper 5-6 feet high that were used by garment manufacturers in the garment industry and the fur industry. So as you know, the fur industry is practically dead.
Yeah.
And when I started teaching in the 1950s, we said that New York City was the center of the garment industry. Ain't true anymore.
Yeah.
It also was the biggest port in New York and head of the publishing companies. All these things have changed.
Yeah. So you're a teacher?
I was a teacher. I was born in 1930, which is the year before the Empire State Building was completed.
Wow.
And I think the Chrysler Building was completed that year.
So you're older than the Empire State and the Chrysler Building. That's pretty monumental. Right.
So, on the other hand, my father was born in 1899, so he was born before there were cars, before the Wright brothers flew the first plane, before there was electricity. Their house had gas lighting in it. That's why I said I'm starting there. So,
yeah,
my father was born at the turn of the century. He actually went into the army but in 1917, but the war ended before he ever went anywhere.
Lucky.
So that was that thing. But this is a greedy story. My grandfather built a house in Borough Park, which was a Jewish-Italian neighborhood then. Now it's an Orthodox Jewish neighborhood, mostly Hasidim. He built a house for $5,000, two-family house with porches, and we lived upstairs. My grandparents lived upstairs. They had a big covered porch, a living room, a library, a dining room, two bedrooms, a bathroom, and a kitchen. For $5,000. And upstairs there were four huge rooms and sinks, not a toilet, but sinks.
Okay.
That's in the attic. So in 1970, when my father was 71, he was getting so many tickets because he wasn't cleaning the sidewalk, he couldn't do it. He sold the house to a rabbi. He was offered $60,000 for the house.
Oh, my God.
And he didn't want to sell because they wanted to tear it down. So he sold it to a rabbi for $45,000 with 10 children. 3 years later, the rabbi sold it for nearly $1 million.
Yeah, in New York. Wow.
And three houses were put up on the lot. And my father made $45,000. The rabbi made God knows what. So, I mean, you have to laugh at these things. So my father was not a good businessman.
Well, it's New York, right?
He never got rich, huh?
You never know.
Never know. But
not a great story, but okay.
My grandfather was an Orthodox Jew. And when I was maybe 12, 13, mm-hmm. my cousin Louis, who's 6 months younger than I, we had to make a speech in Hebrew at Yeshiva University congratulating my grandfather on his 80th birthday. It was very... Louis, to this day, hated making that speech, and I sort of don't remember any of it either.
So you speak Hebrew? Or you learned it at the time for
the
speech?
Let me put it this way. In the 1920s, my grandfather was... in a movement to make Hebrew a modern language.
Oh.
And I think the movement was called the Hevrusa. So people would say to me, do you know Yiddish? And I say, no, because my grandfather did not speak Yiddish. He spoke Hebrew at home. So when I was 6 years old or younger, I learned Hebrew, which I don't know today. I mean, I can say certain things, but when I talk to the people from Israel, mm-hmm. I am talking an antique language.
Okay, is that the difference between Hebrew and Yiddish? I personally don't.
First of all, those of us who came from Central Europe were Ashkenazis. Those mm-hmm. who came from the Mediterranean were Sephardim. And the Hebrew of today is a modern language that's changing. So okay. Let's say I said a word. I would say madu or why. You don't say that today. In other words, words that I say are antique now.
Okay,
I can see that. Like in English.
Okay, so the audio quality is okay. There is a fair amount of noise in it, background noise, a little bit of a hum that you could get rid of with the noise reduction. But all in all, it wasn't distracting. And I kind of felt, as I could hear the chairs creaking and such, that I was sitting in the living room with the person. So not the best audio, but by far, you know, definitely good enough to listen to. And again, I kind of felt like I was in the living room with you. And when she was on the Podcasters Roundtable, she said that obviously now you can't do in-person interviews, especially with somebody that's older because, well, thank you, COVID. So now she's got the kind of hurdle of getting over of trying to do interviews with older people via Zoom. So kudos to just keeping this going. I realize you've got some hurdles to get over. So far, like I said, the audio was okay. Here's a quick example, a little A-B. The first one is with the noise. The second one is one that I've cleaned up a little bit with a noise reduction tool.
We lived upstairs. My grandparents lived upstairs. They had a closed big...
So a lot of that was just taking out some of the bass, which was just a bunch of rumbling kind of noise. Couple things. The intro where the music fades out, when you're fading out music, start the voiceover. That way there's no dead air where it's like, and the music is done, and oh, here's the intro. Yeah, just as the music fades out, fade you in, basically. The voices over the music, either turn the music down or I just couldn't understand what they were saying. And so I love, love, love the concept of this show. But there are two things you're going to be up against. Number one, these people are going to have great content. That's the good news. The bad news is these may not be storytellers. So what I just listened to reminds me a little bit. I've been on radio once and I've been on TV once. And in both cases, you do a pre-interview so that they can figure out where's the interesting stuff. And then they go, okay, good. We want you to talk about this. Work up 4 minutes about this for TV. And when I was on radio, they would say, can you talk about such and such? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, there's a thing. And they're like, no, we just need to know, can you talk about that? So they do a pre-interview. So I, now this is also one of the first episodes, so this might be much better than this particular episode, but I would find out what is the interesting story. And then, like some of the things you found out here, you could use as your introduction. You could say, hey, welcome to the show. This is where we talk to old people with really cool stories. Today we're interviewing so-and-so who was actually born before the Empire State Building was made. Because we kind of know by default that these people are old, and when they were young, things were cheap. We kind of get that. And it's always good to have that in there. It's kind of fun to hear. But that's kind of a given. That can't be the, ooh, things were cheap back then. Because, yeah, that's, you know, gas was, you know, a nickel. Okay, I got that. My dad used to do that all the time. When I would go to the movies, it was, you know, 50 cents and, you know, people paid me to eat a Snickers. Nah, nah, you get the whole idea. So I would talk to these people, find out their interesting story, and then record it. Or just edit it. This could be a great, and I hate to say this phrase because it's a lot of work, but this might be a case where you record the whole thing and then narrate it. So you could say, you know, today we're talking with so-and-so. She was born before the Empire State Building was finished. Her, her grandfather was such and such. Hear her describe the house she grew up in. And then you play a clip, you know. Little did they know, the father later wanted to move, yada, 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 and basically help the story along, because these people might give a ton of details that really isn't needed. We're looking for the interesting stuff. I would highly recommend the book Storyworthy by Matthew Dix. He is a master storyteller, and he would, having the knowledge in that book would help you shape a boring story and cut out the bad stuff. I'm actually going to have the privilege of interviewing him for my School of Podcasting show. And that's going to be one of my questions. How do you know what to keep and how do you know what to ditch? So if you want to check it out again, storiesyourgrannynevertold.com. And if you would like your show right here on the Podcast Rodeo Show, simply go out to podcastrodeoshow.com and click on the $5 button. That's all it takes. Now, if you want a full review, go over to Podcast Review Show. That is a show I do with my buddy Eric K. Johnson. He's got 30 years in radio. I got 15 years in podcasting. We go over your audio. We go over your flow. We go over your website. We actually have you fill out a form so we can make sure that your content is in alignment with your goals. It's like getting two podcast consultants for the price of one. Check it out, podcastreviewshow.com. Until we meet again, this is Dave Jackson reminding you to always enjoy your ride.